Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Now, we're going to talk about magic. Illusions, sleight of hand, and the magic of a masterfully produced piece of theater. The particular production we're going to talk about not only features a magician as its main character, it was also conceived of and co-directed by a magician.
The play is Shakespeare's The Tempest. The American Repertory Theater's new production of the play was brought to life by Teller, the usually silent half of the popular illusionist duo Penn and Teller.
But what Teller pulls off on stage at the Loeb Drama Center is no illusion. It is strange and fantastical, yet very real. This Tempest combines movement from the dance company Palobolus, the music of Tom Waits, actual magic on stage, and of course Shakespeare's own ethereal dialogue. The Tempest runs through June 15th, and Teller joins us now in the studio. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Well, thank you. It's fun to be here. I stopped at the CVS on my way in and picked up some Band-Aids for a little injury that I got while directing, which I do rather physically.
So it's something of a contact sport in The Tempest.
Yes,
okay.
It is. Yes, it is.
Well, first let me ask you, when did you fall in love with this particular play of Shakespeare's?
When I was a kid, my grandfather was an immigrant who taught himself English and became the best read person in English literature I've ever met. And he gave my family a set of Shakespeare, and my father, who was a disciple of my grandfather, pulled out two of the plays and said, "You're going to like these, kid," because I had been doing magic since I was five. And the two volumes were Macbeth and The Tempest. Macbeth featuring all sorts of black magic,
right,
and the Tempest being about a magician.
And so from that point in time, did you feel some sort of special a connection to The Tempest in particular, and did it stay with you for most of
your life? Yeah, it haunted me. When it really came back to me, I was in my 20s, one of the first years that Penn and I had worked together, and I had been reading a book about how to remember your dreams. And I was writing down my dreams every night, and one morning I woke up out of a dream in which I was Prospero, and I was fighting off my enemies by doing shows for them. And when I looked back at the text of The Tempest, I realized that's exactly what Prospero does. He's taking revenge, but unlike other Shakespearean heroes who take revenge by, like, stabbing people and poisoning them and cutting their throats and gouging their eyes out, Prospero makes terrifying shows for the people who'd done him wrong ever so many years ago. And I realized that the very idea of gaining your power in the world and getting your way in the world by means of shows was kind of exactly what I was doing,
right,
you know, with my life. And I'm now 66, and I'm realizing that sooner or later I won't be able to do shows anymore, although Penn and I have often said we intend to die in office. And if I were to die on stage, I'd be perfectly happy. And one of the things that, to me, the center of The Tempest is the question of what would make somebody who is profoundly addicted to magic, profoundly connected to magic. I mean, Prospero, the character, lost his whole worldly wealth and his safety and the safety of his 3-year-old daughter because he was so obsessed with magic that he neglected his regular duties, and his evil brother came in and took over and tried to kill him.
Right.
What would make somebody who loved magic that much be willing to give up magic, which is essentially the arc of The Tempest?
Do you have an answer to that question for yourself?
Well, nothing will. Death will make me give up magic. But it really strikes me to the quick, because I just don't... It is so painful for me to imagine that I get sort of choked up.
Right. Well, it's interesting to hear you say that you see The Tempest. Certainly, you're not the only one, but you explain it very well as a redemption story as much as a revenge story.
Well, it is. It's I have to say that I'm co-directing this production with Aaron Posner, and Aaron Posner has just had a baby daughter.
Uh-huh.
And watching the way he gazes at his baby daughter, who is about the age Miranda was when Prospero and Miranda get abandoned in a rotten rowboat, I can see that the level of passion that he has for his daughter would certainly be the level of of passion that Prospero must be going through. And the answer to what would make you give up magic may be in the intensity of that relationship. So it's nice that we're sort of complementary on the show, because he's thinking about the daughter and I'm thinking about the magic.
Well, so let me ask you a little bit more about the magic in particular, because you also co-directed with Aaron Macbeth several years ago. So you've got a great working history together.
We do. And in both cases, what we're using magic for is to help the audience step into the place of the characters in the story who are affected by Prospero's illusions. Normally in a production of The Tempest, the magic is indicated. You know, somebody appears or disappears by walking off stage or walking on stage. And that doesn't really give you the sense that the characters who are affected by the magic in The Tempest have, which is that they're gazing on impossible events. They're gazing on things that leave them dumbstruck, that leave them stupefied, in some places, I mean, that leave them mentally destroyed. And we thought that showing the audience what these people are going through by letting the audience go through it on their own was a big step.
So are the actors actually performing magic tricks or illusions on stage? They are. So you taught them how to do these.
In the case of Prospero hadn't had previous. His name is Tom Nellis, a wonderful actor from New York. Prospero hadn't had previous experience with magic, but he was trained as a dancer. So he's trained to be able to lock in movements perfectly. So we have a wonderful magic consultant who's a 79-year-old friend of mine named Johnny Thompson, who was just amazed at how quick Tom was able to pick up the magic stuff that he had to learn. At one point, he had a really hard trick to do, and I gave him the prop, and I said, here, go home, and while you're watching TV, just do this 200 times. And he came in the next day with Band-Aids all over his hands, because the thing was not all that comfortable to use, but he now does it to perfection and absolutely reliably. And the guy playing Ariel was already a wonderful sleight-of-hand artist, and so we've exploited that in the show. So when Ariel tells stories, he doesn't just relate what went on. He illustrates it with sleight of hand.
Right. Doesn't this seem to you, I mean, I'm asking a rhetorical question, because of course it seems to you that the natural home for this particular play, because first of all, I mean, the theater in and of itself exists as a place where illusions come to life, right? Because you're trying to transport the theater goer into a fictional world. And then on top of that, you're bringing in actual magic on stage for a play where a magician is the center of the of the entire story. I mean, has any other production done this before? And if not, why not?
To my knowledge, the last one that did it big time was in the late 1800s. There was a magician who mounted a version of The Tempest with 19th century stage mechanics. Uh-huh. Which included a lot of magic tricks. Our magic is much cleaner. Our magic is not a lot of machinery. It's a lot of human beings doing really clever and deceptive things. So it does seem like the most natural thing in the world. In fact, I think if Shakespeare had what we have at ART, which is, the best possible technical crew in the world, in the best house in the world, with the most creative artistic staff in the world, he would just have done our show the way we're doing it. honestly, if he, I believe that he wrote the role of Ariel for Nate Dendy, who is the guy who's playing Ariel. I mean, he's small, he's live, and he's an amazing magician.
Wow. Well, this production really does sound, I know we've said this a lot in this segment, but truly magical, not just because of the actual magic that appears on stage, but the other elements that you bring into it. For example, we mentioned at the beginning, the dance company Palabolas.
Yeah.
Tell us how they're informing the production.
Well, most prominently, Caliban is the monster in the play, the son of a witch, supposed to be a misshapen, strange creature. And Aaron and I got together and flew out to Connecticut, where the dance company Palabolas lives. And they're famous for making creatures out of human flesh. And we said to them, let's create a Caliban here. So we sat in their studio for 2 days, starting off with a creature that was made out of 5 people and whittling it down to a creature made of 2 people. So it's sort of like conjoined twins, but they're the most graceful, agile, strange, and funny conjoined twins you've ever seen. And the two guys who play it are very similar in build, and we make them look very much like their brothers who were born this way. But, I mean, they can talk to you One face can talk to you, and then they do a somersault, and another face talks to you, and they can move around the stage in ways that are very much like a spider. It's pretty amazing.
Well, we don't want to give too much away about all the magical things that appear on stage at the Arete's production of The Tempest, so we'll leave it at that. But Teller, an internationally renowned magician, best known for his work with Penn and Teller, is co-director of the Arete's new production of The Tempest on stage at the Loeb Drama Center in Cambridge through June 15th. What a great, great opportunity to speak with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. The music is by Tom Waits and Kathleen Brennan. Always keep that in mind.
Got it. Well, we're listening to a little bit of a Tom Waits song featured in the show right now, God's Away on Business.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.